Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back once again to Three Witches and a Druid, where we sit around after having imbibed some lovely mead and discuss our modern lives living as pagans. I'm Margot.
And I am Maeve. Gwen.
And I'm Brian. We also left out that we got a really good pizza.
Shout out to The Wedge for their moon pie. Delicious. I kind of thought, you know, amazing. Moon pie for a bunch of pagans sounded about appropriate.
It was delicious.
This is not a sponsored ad.
But we would accept sponsorship.
Or, you know, more pizza.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Lo is still with us because it's awkward to kick her out between episodes. So we decided we wanted to talk about red flags, but we also wanted to touch briefly on an article that was posted in The Atlantic. You want to talk a little bit about it, Gwen?
Oh, just briefly, The Atlantic published an article written by a rabbi, which has the flavor, like it's trying to be academic, but it has a lot of errors regarding paganism. He mentions how monotheism is a better way and how pagan beliefs and virtues and values are the reason the world is, you know, a big, to quote Brian, what is it? A big flaming pile of shit or something. And so, although it's The Atlantic, so he didn't use those words exactly. But yeah, so, and there's been some pushback from pagan writers, lots of people writing responses. I know Maeve has some, perused it and had some issues with some of the things he says. And I mean, it's theologically, I think it's weak. I think logically, like logic, it doesn't follow Socratic logic.
The scholarship was very shoddy and self-serving.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
So part of the issue is that, unfortunately, he uses the term pagan very incorrectly. Because he, at one point in the article, he calls Ellen, the muskrat, a pagan. Basically, anyone who is not of a Judeo-Christian
faith. And he says monotheism, but he really only means Judeo-Christian because he doesn't refer to Islam at all.
No.
So,
and yeah, he uses a couple of individuals as examples who are not pagan.
Who are not pagan.
In at all. So he uses the term ignorantly without understanding that there is an entire actual pagan community.
Yeah, he's using the term pagan to just mean
anybody that's not Judeo-Christian.
Judeo-Christian, which is ridiculous because many people wouldn't consider that. He was using very ancient, in much of it, very ancient Greco-Roman references and this, things that are like 2,000 years old. And it's like, why are you bringing that into the modern?
But even I think the way he used them to support his argument, it didn't show a contextual, like he may have cherry picked something out of there, but without the context of the rest of the culture, it didn't make any sense anyway, to his argument. It didn't really help him any.
Well, that's the other name he mentions. Gross enough to even say this. Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Well, it's an American article, I believe.
Yeah, so it's written by David Wolfe, and it's called The Return of the Pagans, and it's posted in The Atlantic.
He's talking about, you know, the love of money and the love of, you know, got to be beautiful or handsome and all of this. And those are pagan attitudes. It's like, what? Who? I think he mentions maybe once actual earth spirituality.
Twice.
So one of the bigger issues here, though, is that he's been invited to buy a variety of actual pagan organizations.
To learn more.
And he's refused. Which shows his own ignorance.
To me, that shows his failing as a rabbi.
Yes.
My understanding is that rabbis are, as leaders of the community, always wanting to learn, always wanting to be exposed to new ideas, always wanting to understand the world so that they can better serve
their community.
Their community by understanding the greater world around them.
Exactly.
And that's something that this person has obviously refused and failed very, very badly at doing.
It came up at the ADF Mother Grove meeting if we should respond to this. And we decided it wasn't worth it.
I don't think it's worth the energy to respond to the rabbi Wolf.
David Wolf.
My issue is not so much with the article. People will make comments about other people's religions without a lot of knowledge. My issue is with The Atlantic. The Atlantic, it's not academic. It's not peer-reviewed. but it sells itself as being something that appeals to people who think.
Yeah.
It has a reputation of having value. It's not just content for the sake of content. It has, 150-odd years, maybe more, of being there. It's a bit of a feather in your cap to be published in The Atlantic.
Yeah, not anymore.
Apparently not, because to me, that is a failure on the part of The Atlantic to live up to their own corporate
standards.
Yeah.
The bottom line for me when I was reading it is, I will not give this a second thought because it's too ridiculous for words.
And
it does
thinking
give cause
people,
for pause.
You know, when people say, and here we'll get loads comment on this, like, you know, you'll hear ridiculous people saying, do your own research. And so many of us can't do our own research. We don't have access. Things are behind paywalls that have value. It's hard for the layperson to do their own research. But you count on venerable institutions to do that screening for you.
Mm-hmm.
And The Atlantic dropped the ball.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I will preface, like, I didn't get a chance to read this article.
You're not missing anything.
It's a ridiculous article.
Yeah. It is unfortunate that it sounds like, yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, I know The Atlantic is quite a big news source to sort of hear that, yeah, an article. What, Donald Trump comes up in it?
He has nothing
to do with paganism.
He's in the opening paragraph because it's kind of like this whole worshipping the golden bull sort of concept. It's, oh, because in ancient times, you know, the Greco-Romans, it was all worship, money, and power, and all of these things. And
how many
and
pagans
whatnot.
Do we know with any kind of money? Yeah.
Money and power in our own minds, maybe.
We have one guy who did really well in crypto.
he gained and lost millions and over again.
I'm pretty sure it's all gone.
It just sounds like to me this guy just decided that pagan means anything he doesn't like.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. For me, the big issue is boils back to the actual ignorance of him not actually wanting to learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, so we will never discuss this ever again or speak again.
Yeah, it's really the article itself is too dumb for
words. And, you know, if you were thinking about buying The Atlantic, do not.
Yeah. Gwen sourced a bunch of very good replies. I'll post those in the show notes.
Yeah, you know, smarter people than us.
Yeah,
from more
the article
than
yeah,
the show
I'll,
notes?
I'll share the article. Yeah.
Well, we'll get the article to you, Lo. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Great.
So yeah, the main.
I can't wait to lose brain cells.
Oh, it's just it's ridiculous beyond words. Seriously.
So the main topic of today's conversation is red flags, spiritual red flags. So this was a suggestion by Lo. We've done gatekeeping in the past, but we want to talk a little bit more about the red flags that you may encounter after you've passed through the gate. So yeah, what are some things, I'll let Lo start here, what are some things that you view are red flags in the spiritual community?
Anybody who says anything along the lines of this is the only way or the right way to do X, Y, Z.
That's
like,
fair.
This is the only way to do divination. This is the only way to do a spell. This is the only way to do ritual. Like, there are so many different ways and so many different ideas on how to practice. Paganism is so broad. Magic is so broad. Like, there's no one right way to do anything.
Yeah.
No, there isn't. Even when I'm teaching, you know, the witchcraft 101 sort of deal, it's like, this is just a basis. This is one way. Expand on it how you like, because I stop and think about how I did things 25 years ago and how I do them now. It's always growing and changing. And so if anybody says this is the only way or, you know, or else you're not, it's whatever.
Yeah.
It's your middle fingers.
Right.
Or unless you've been initiated by a witch, you're not a witch. That's another
thing. That's
big.
A big one. Now, there are certain paths and practices within paganism which do require initiation through certain
and that's
paths.
And that's
their
specific
path.
Yes.
To their
and
path.
That's often explained right from the beginning. It's not like a big
it's not something that's going to be sprung on you in the middle of a ritual that
exactly.
Oh, by the way, guess what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
If that's part of their tradition, okay. But when you, if you're in one tradition and you say, oh, well, you guys aren't real witches. I went through that in the beginning. You're not a, the original group a lot was, you know, well, there was one or two people there who believed, well, if you are not part of this particular line and you haven't been initiated in another tradition, we recognize, well, you're not really a witch.
Right.
That's much crap.
One thing that is coming up a lot online, I've recently become a moderator of a very large Celtic and Druidry group. And one of the issues in that group, and this happens all the time, a lot of people want to talk about their ancestry DNA, and that's perfectly okay. But then you run into it kind of borders on the gatekeeping. But when you find individuals like that who push that folkish bullshit, that comes up a lot. So another issue along those lines, and this, the other moderator's going to hate me for this if she listens. I don't think she does. It drives me a little nuts when you have a lot of individuals from, say, Ireland or Scotland or that area who say, no, no, this is a closed practice. Only we can practice this. It's like, so there was this place called Pangaea, and in all of this, Nova Scotia, the Appalachians.
We were attached to Africa.
We were all one. Nothing is closed in that sense.
I would say there are closed practices.
Oh, no, there definitely is.
Like, I wouldn't go practice indigenous spirituality, being an indigenous person and all that.
No way in the world you could tell me that Celtic is a closed practice.
Yeah.
And it does not belong to Ireland.
It doesn't belong to a DNA group. It's a cultural thing, and it was historically.
Yeah, and it was various massive. Tribal it peoples. Reached all the way from Scandinavia to the Arab peninsula. You can't come on to a Facebook group in 2023 and tell me, no, I decided it's going to be closed. It doesn't work that way.
No. As I have said many times before, practice what you want, whatever culture you want, whatever floats your boat. But you see, I've been challenged once or twice about, you know, that, about, well, you know, I'm very Northwestern European in my DNA. According to 23andMe, I'm Germanic, British with a little Frenchy whatever thrown in there. But my argument is, as somebody, and I'd say much of the pagan population, believes in reincarnation, who's to say you were not somebody else in another life and that is still in you?
Yeah.
That isn't still in your soul or your makeup or an ancestor that may have been, you know, an ancestral memory. Things like that, or even reincarnation. You know, since I was a child old enough to notice what was in a book, I was always fascinated with Egyptian, you know, ancient Egypt, things like that. And I have absolutely no DNA in me, but it's obviously a past life thing.
Yeah.
That's how I say, because I personally, just for me, I do believe in past lives, and who knows who someone was in another life.
Can I disagree with that slightly?
You can disagree all you want.
I'm not sure my opinions on past lives are that topic. I'm like, yeah, sure, that sounds like a possibility. Sure, I don't know what I believe in regards to that. But say past lives are a thing. If someone was Egyptian in a past life, or African descent in a past life, and they are now, I'm just going to say white because I'm a white person. If I was to say, like, I have, I can practice XYZ closed practice because I was whatever in a past life, I think you still have to take into account that you're in this life. And in this life, your ancestry is what it is. And you still need to take into consideration the history and the oppression that many people have faced for practicing their religion, their spirituality, and the context they're in. In this life, you are not part of whatever culture it may be. If that is a closed practice, I don't personally think you should insert yourself into that, regardless of your beliefs, if you may have been part of that culture in a past life.
So we've had this conversation before about appropriation, and one of the things that comes up a lot is that there is appropriation in the form of, I'm going to make dream catchers and open up a store and sell dream catchers as a non-Indigenous person, versus appropriation of appreciating someone's spirituality. One is significantly more damaging than the other. Also, at the same time, in a lot of those closed practices, not all of them, some closed practices are very closed. Some closed practices, they're more than happy to teach you if you find the right individual who's willing to share their knowledge with you. as long as you gain that knowledge from an individual that follows that path, is of that culture today. We here in Nova Scotia have been really lucky for a very long time, the Mi'kmaq were willing to share a lot of their teachings.
Our First Nations people are, I think right across Canada, are very generous. Yes.
I only say Mi'kmaq here because I don't have experience with the others. Yeah. But the Druids for years used to go to a sweat. We were invited yearly to go to a sweat lodge. And it was great. The unfortunate thing is that at the time, I don't know if this has changed, at the time, the sweat lodge was only for men, and the Grove is vast majority female now, so we stopped going.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, I will say I do not follow an Egyptian pantheon. Like, I'm not Kemetic. But if for myself, if I'm wanting to, you know, look into or study or meditate on, the concept of Isis, well, I'm going to do it.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And it's a very complicated and complex topic. I hope I'm not coming across as like...
No, no, not at all. I know exactly what you mean.
How
here.
Dare you disagree with her on an opinion?
I know. No, you've been disagreeing all
you want.
I'm going to
slide her a 20 because... okay, we'll just keep our mouths shut.
No, it's fine.
No, and, not in the slightest. I really am just... If you are from Mali and you want to learn about or study about or meditate with Rhiannon, I don't care. See, that's me. Like, I truly don't. And I do, and I've said it before, that I do homestay for a English language college downtown in Halifax. I've lived with just about 50 people from 14 different countries. And I can tell you honestly, I've lived, like I said, 14 different countries. They don't give a shit.
They don't.
They really don't. I have kimonos from Japan. I have dresses from Africa. And they're happy for me to
be
doing
all this.
And they
would love for you to wear them, but
the society tells you
it's ridiculous. Because the people from those countries are so happy to share. Well, you want to wear our clothes? You want to do this? You want to put this on your head or do whatever you want? They don't care. It's a very interesting North American, meaning United States, Canada, concept that we're appropriating when I have never had that experience ever. We are butting in.
That's
in
one of the biggest issues in appropriation is often the conversation of cultural appropriation is that we often don't listen to the cultures that we're talking about. So, like,
that's just my experience.
A big example is, guess what Mexican's favorite cartoon is? Speedy Gonzales. When they got taken off the air, they were super mad. Because that represented them, and they loved it. And everyone was like, but the uncle who's lazy is like, yeah, we're lazy sometimes, just like you are lazy sometimes.
I had one girl, Fanta, from Mali, And she was talking to me. She wanted me to do Ramadan. Would you like to do Ramadan with me? You know, and I mean, it's obviously not my religion. She says, oh, you might like a nice experience. Might you might get something out of it. She was happy for me to do Ramadan. If I said now, went out in a general crowd and said, I'm going to do Ramadan this year, people would be, you can't do that. It's not your religion, blah, blah, blah. It's like the girl from Mali was inviting me to do it with her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have an entire event in February called Interfaith.
Interfaith Harmony Week,
participated in that, the Grove, several times, where various religions come together and share their spiritual paths and beliefs. It is great. It's an amazing event.
Yeah, because ignorance breeds prejudice. Yeah.
But we're kind of getting a little off topic.
Okay.
That is a complicated topic.
Yes. It is a complicated topic.
Nobody's saying cultural appropriation is an incredibly difficult topic. It is very sensitive for a lot of individuals. Yes. But the most important thing is to listen to the individuals who actually represent the culture. Do not allow the middle-aged white woman on the internet to tell you what you are and are not appropriate.
I would never set up and make kimonos and sell them in a store.
Well, that's the thing.
But I have a kimono from Japan.
Hold up.
As a gift.
Where do you think the kimono comes from?
The kimono's Korean.
Exactly. But most people think it's Japanese. So a lot of people are like, oh, you're appropriating for the Japanese. Japanese be the first people to tell you, like, no, we went over, literally beat them up and told them, don't worry. We thought they were really cool. And we literally appropriated them to the max.
Yeah, they're Korean.
A Japanese person would be the first person to tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, so what were we talking about?
We're talking about red flags.
Spiritual red flags.
Spiritual red flags. Anybody who tells you, oh, here's the biggie. You have to have sex with... Or another one is we
do
only.
Do you think that's still a thing?
Yes, I do. I think it is.
Absolutely. Because I was going to say,
not around here, obviously.
Most generation is way too savvy for this. Yeah. They're way too. It's so much more in the open.
Be surprised.
I can see the 80s and 90s, but I would.
You'll find certain corners like the Midwest or like the Bible Belt where everything is like much more secretive.
Yeah.
I
can also see how, as being a former, well, still damaged, but a former very damaged adolescent, early adult, seeking connection, seeking belonging,
seeking
love. Being manipulated into that.
Being vulnerable to that
situation.
Being
vulnerable for that kind of situation.
Because there's predators everywhere.
And I believe that the damaged young woman that I was still exists out there in our population.
Yes.
In many young women.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how that kind of makes them a target for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Now, at the same time, and this is not me playing devil's advocate, in no way are we sex shaming. You want to go?
Go for it.
I know
sex magic is awesome.
I know of a local coven that sex is a big, big, big part of what they do.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Good for them. They do their thing. I'll tell you that story off podcast. That's what they enjoy. And it's all consensual and it's done. If between two consenting adults, do what you want, but do not feel.
Or more, but it's a matter of you're not going to have the initiation pass properly on to you unless you are joined with me and I can pass it through bodily fluids and all that.
That's a pile of shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you have to be, you can only come to our coven if you're willing to work skyclad. Well, if you can't raise enough, because you know it's the energy, you can't raise enough energy to get through a little piece of cotton, then there's no use, there's no hope for you anyway.
Yes.
Like, it's ridiculous. Another biggie, well, I guess it's part of gatekeeping too, is, oh, don't read those books. That's always been a biggie for me. Don't read about other, like, oh, we're this particular, you know, strain of paganism.
Yeah.
Don't read about this group and this group and this group, because that's all bullshit. Don't read it.
You read everything.
You read everything. You know what I mean? I'm an eclectic traditionalist. I enjoy my rituals in a traditional style, but I'm eclectic to many different gods and goddesses.
Never read 21 Lessons of Merlin.
No.
That's one book you should never read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Burn every copy you see.
Read,
the only book I ever
read
destroyed.
Books, but read them with like a critical eye.
Yeah, yes. Discernment.
Use your discretion and don't take everything at face value, because there is some BS out there.
Oh, there is, especially right now, because
AI.
AI and the publishing work, like pagan publishing right now, I don't know today if it's as hot as it was like 5 years ago. Mm. There was tons of books coming out, like left, right, and center.
Yeah, like Amazon has so many like witchcraft books, and it's all like authors with like this, like five last names that sound witchy or whatever.
And they're not good.
And as I was reading maybe Jason Mankey or a few actual published authors and some academics talking about this, and they're made up. Like, these are AI-generated books with made-up people. So if
there was recently, this came up a big time because somebody came out with an AI-generated mushroom book. And they got the mushrooms mixed up. And they were suggesting you eat a very poisonous mushroom.
Yes, I just read about that too.
God.
But there are a lot of generated books that are generated. So they're wholesale plagiarism, right? Because they're just grabbing stuff off of other online books and pop blogs and everything.
ChatGPT, just mush it all together.
I am such a Luddite. I had no idea that was going on.
So people, they suggest, look these authors up. If you can't find anything but one page or two pages on them, if they don't look like they have a whole background, possibly it's a ChatGPT.
Look up the author, look up reviews, look up negative and positive reviews and see, does this author have any backlash against them for any reason? Have they been called out for things that are red flaggy, for example?
Yeah.
There was quite a few years back, and Margot may remember this, there was a couple of books that all of a sudden got super popular. Oh my God, I forget what one of them was. And people were coming in little mysteries asking for it. And Vanessa was like, we don't sell that. And there was some of us, if we saw them somewhere on secondhand tables, we bought them so people wouldn't get their hands on them.
Because they were so terrible. I can't remember.
They were terrible.
We've talked about that book on the podcast.
There's a couple, but there's one. And I still kept it. I have it at home. There's one book I have that talks about how you need to steal nails from a coffin. And it talks about how to go dig up a coffin in a cemetery and how you need to be careful. I'm like, is this happening? Or put your menstrual blood in their wine and they will be tied to forever. Oh, listen, I've got a bunch of them at home that I
can
see
them. I was going to say, that's probably a TikTok thing. They're doing stuff with body fluids and
I have the actual books at home. I can bring them along and show you sometimes the ones you never want to look at.
That's really old folk magic. That's really old stuff. It comes back around every so often.
I forget the one that Little Mysteries. Vanessa was just beside herself. We've had a run on this book. It's an awful book. Blah, blah, blah. It's crazy. Crazy business.
I was thinking, since we're talking bodily fluids, one of the things you brought up was medical advice, spiritual healing.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I said earlier, like, one big, big red flag is anybody telling you that you should forego medical treatment or not bother going to the doctor to treat something and just do the spiritual, herbalistic, whatever method to treat it instead. And I will add to that saying that spiritual healing, very impactful, meditation, great stuff. Like, I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying don't do that instead of going to the doctor. Go to your doctor, talk to your doctor, and tell your doctor if you're taking supplements or any tea, anything that you're doing, let them know. Because maybe you're on a medication or they will prescribe you a medication to also help with whatever issue you're facing that would negatively interact with whatever other treatment you're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe there's nothing, but maybe there is something.
And the herbs that we sold at Little Mysteries, and we sold buckets of them, we always made it very clear that we were not certified herbalists.
Mm-hmm.
we were not recommending anybody take these internally. They were food grade, but they were for magical purposes. Burning and not and, for
spells. Yeah.
Ingesting, not for
consumption.
Yeah. I mean, you can make chamomile tea. But as long as you do your research and you take your responsibility for what you're doing with these herbs. But again, I agree with you 100%. You need to tell your medical professionals if you're taking any herbal supplements or herbal treatment, because they do, as you said, have active ingredients that are going to possibly interact.
Yeah, exactly.
So
beware of people trying to sell you things. I think we keep coming back around to that. Whether it's spiritual healing, whether it's I'm the only way or this is the true path or whatever. Usually it's down to money.
Psychics are not going to message you privately on Instagram and offer you to read the card.
That's not
a thing. It's a scam. Stop falling for it.
Yeah. That's such a thing. I know you said, Gwen, you like mentioned TikTok briefly there, but that's such a thing on like TikTok, and like people just find you and be like, hey, your energy was calling out to me. I think you should like pay for this $20 reading. And it's like, no, don't do that.
My energy says no.
No, it's true. I think, though, and sadly, and it ties back to people who may feel isolated or insecure. And a little earlier off the podcast here, we were talking about how having many different active pagan community groups and different events and all of this, and the more the merrier. I think sometimes when people do feel very alone and very isolated, very solitary, maybe they live somewhere where it's dangerous to live your spirituality outside, you know, and all of that. I think that they can be, and as pardon me, because not all teenagers are stupid, but, you know, but or anything like that. But a lot of times, or they don't want to tell their parents, or just people who feel isolated would be drawn to any kind of sort of spiritual connection. Mm. So it is, try your very best to find others if you can.
Yeah.
Because I can see how some people would get sucked in by that. Or a lot of times people, too, who are not pagan in any way, who just think it might be a lark. Oh, let's try this for fun. Be careful about that.
Yes.
And ask questions. Mm. Ask all the questions. Big red flag is if you're not allowed to ask questions, that's when you turn around and walk away.
Yeah.
Because it should be a safe enough place that you feel safe enough to ask for the information that you require to make your decisions. And if you're not allowed to have that information to make your decisions, then that is not a safe place to be.
And it could be for a nefarious purpose, but it could also be that they are not confident enough in themselves to say, you know what, I can't give you an answer right now, or I don't know right now. And if somebody is going to say you're not allowed to know rather than admit they don't know, you need to get with people that are more confident, that can own their deficiencies, because that can get dangerous all on its own.
Yeah.
People are led by their ego.
Yeah, or I'll often say, I don't have the answer, but maybe I can help you find someone who does. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a biggie. Or a biggie for me, red flags, is anyone who tells you you shouldn't read a book. I'm back to that. Yeah. That's a biggie. Now, I will say that I have said to people in the past, you can read that book all you want. You may not have enough prior information to get as much out of it as you could, but you go straight ahead and read that. I would never tell them not to. I might say, you might want to read this one first, and this will make more sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's hard to do your multiplication until you know your addition. But you go ahead and read it. You want to read that book, you'd be my guest.
Another one, jumping off the asking questions. Also, being able to disagree with whatever the people in whatever group or community you're in, you should be able to disagree.
We're not friends anymore, getting, though.
We're not fighting. Yeah. This is such a toxic environment. I'm going to be ostracized from the pagan community in Nova Scotia now because I disagreed with it. So,
but that's all right.
That's it for me. Bye, guys. You will never hear from me again. I went against the powers that be, so.
No, that is perfectly cool with me. You know what? When
did
somebody.
Did she just say she thinks we're the powers that be?
No, no! That was sarcasm.
That's hilarious.
No, Rove has been together for almost 23 years now, and I can't think of a single time where me and Mark have agreed on something. It's pretty rare.
Yeah. And you know, and it is all part of critical thinking, because anything anybody says, I often give it a thought and maybe see something else. And that's pretty cool. And I also, you know, are like, well, you don't believe quite the same as me. And that's perfectly cool.
Yeah.
That's part of the whole deal. You know, you're coming from a different angle. And I think I'm just getting old, man. It's like, I don't know if I got the energy. I'm happy with this and my thoughts on the whole. And yeah, whatever. I'm always open to new things.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. Well, this has been exciting. I had a lovely time. And I'm so happy Lo was with us for another episode. It's very, very exciting.
Thank you so much.
There we are. Are you coming back again if we ask?
Oh, if you'll have me, I'll come back, sure.
No, it's great. Well, look, thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in with us. We're always very excited to be sharing and sharing together and sharing with you. And if you have any questions or comments, you can reach us on our Facebook page. We're always open to, you know, suggestions for shows and ideas and all of that. So anytime. And if you have criticisms, constructively and politely, please. That's great.
Hello, beloved listeners and patrons of Three Witches and a Druid podcast. We would like to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude for your unwavering support of our podcast. With your encouragement, we have been able to explore and celebrate the rich and diverse world of paganism and spirituality. We feel blessed to have had the opportunity to share our knowledge and experiences with you. As we continue to grow and evolve, we invite you to join us on this journey and become a Patreon member of our podcast. Your contribution will help us to continue creating quality content and provide you with more exciting episodes filled with wisdom, insights, and a little enchantment. By becoming a Patreon member, you will not only support our mission, but you will also have access to exclusive content, behind-the-scenes goodies, discounts, and much, much more. Together, we can create a thriving and supportive community. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being a part of our Three Witches and a Druid family.
And until next time, everybody, merry meet.
Merry part.
And merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.